Father, we thank you for your grace upon us. We thank you for your love and your sovereign hand over human history and our lives. We gather now in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus, and we pray that you bless our time of fellowship, and you bless us as we prepare to visit the land of promise, a land that you set aside to bear your name and to bear witness of your sovereign hand in human history. And it would be a joy to go there and a joy to learn of you and to fellowship as brothers and sisters in a land of promise. And so we commit ourselves and our time, our energy, the sacrifice that it will take to get there. We commit it to you as a offering of thanks for the great sacrifice of your Son and the continual blessings that you pour out on us. Bless us this hour, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's start with the brown handout. Hopefully all you guys got the brown handout. Hopefully you've seen this before. And I'm just going to take the time to read through the basics of it, and then I'm going to get into the other handout. So Delray Church is going to Israel, the Holy Land. Yay! And you could be coming along with us. Yippee! We're so excited to travel with you to the land of the Bible, and this promises to be a trip of a lifetime. We want to see God's Word come alive in the land, and it's an experience. You've been in the church, you've been reading your Bibles, you read about Jerusalem, Bethlehem, you read of these locations, but to actually be there so that you can close your eyes and see it when you're reading the Bible, it's a great treasure to be able to see the land. In reading the Bible, you know the land is special, this whole idea of a promised land. And when you're reading the opening of the Bible, the book of Genesis sets up this land, sets up this people. And by the sovereign hand of God, there are still descendants of Abram in the land. And so it's an exciting time in modern history, particularly to go. It's an exciting time for us to go as a church. I've been a handful of times. This would be the first time that I'm taking a group. And so I wanted to limit it to, you know, the folks and friends of our church here. And, you know, we can make exceptions or whatever, but we're really trying to keep it, you know, sort of to us. And we also are trying to keep our size small. So I'm trying to not go over 25 for purposes of maximizing the experience. I have toured with large groups. I've toured with small groups. I've toured by myself. You just get more out of it when your group is more stealth. When you go big, it gets really hard. That said, there are going to be expectations in terms of who's going, and I'll get to some of those expectations too, because it's not just that we want to keep it under 25. I want to keep it under 25, but of the 25, I have certain expectations for those 25 if they go, and we'll talk more about that. So what you need to know so far is the trip is locked in, and it's January 16th through the 27th. The cost is $3,400. This includes airfare, double occupancy hotel, and two meals a day, breakfast and dinner. This is your tour bus, air conditioning on the tour bus, Bible teaching, miscellaneous. That's the basic of it. So $3,400 is going to cover it. If you go online and you type in a pastor's name, tour Israel or whatever, and you see what these tours cost, this price is unbelievable. If you know, not that I'm Greg Laurie or whatever, but if you look at like a Greg Laurie trip or Chuck Swindoll or whoever, and those trips are going to cost you $5,000, $6,000. So anyway, this is a killer price. And if you don't have a roommate, and we can't find a roommate for you, there's going to be an additional $500 for you to have a solo room. Now, some of you, if you are flying solo, you might say to yourself, I want my own space. I don't want to share a room with someone. And if finances permit you to do that, do that. Hopefully, as we're organizing things, we will be able to get everyone squared away with a roommate. If you don't want to stay in the same hotels, unfortunately, we're not accommodating that. We can't have those moving parts around. Some of you have asked about flying separately. If you want to fly separate, you can fly separate, and there will be a cost deduction from this price. But it's on you to find us and to get to where we are. And if you miss out on anything, that's on you too. So you just have to know. If you want to move your flight, because maybe you're coming from, are you guys coming from the other side of the pond?
We're coming from London.
Okay, so you know, we just want to square away.
To
get it there.
Yeah. We'll come back here.
Yeah.
We'll have the plan.
So we just want to make sure, I just want anyone who knows, if you're doing separate flight stuff, if there's a hiccup or whatever, you know, that's the risk of taking a separate flight. And then with regard to rooms, if you want to stay in some different hotel or you got a friend, you want to sleep on their couch to cut your costs, we're not cutting costs on it. The reason why is we need to be able to wake up in the morning, we need to be able to get out of the hotel, we need to be able to be together and keep track of everyone. And we have, you know, locations that we're going to that we pay for. Some locations aren't free. We have timelines. We'll be given open space for our group to arrive. So we have to keep things on time. So if you're not where we are, that just, it makes it too hard. Backside of this page is the information on deposits and things. If you have any questions about finances, deposits, etc., it's spelled out here that there's a first, a second, and a final. If you want to pay everything in full, you can pay everything in full. Okay? Your space on the tour is not guaranteed until both reservation forms and all fees have been received by October 31st, 2017. We can't allow exceptions, so we that's what we got to stick with. In terms of your finances and turning them in and stuff like that, I'm going to rely on Lucy in the back to make sure that happens. So if you have a payment, don't give it to me. Don't even tell me about it because I won't remember, and just factor me out of the money. Like most things around the church, when it comes to money, I'm not involved. I don't touch money. I stay away from it. Same with this trip. Don't give me money for your tickets or anything. I don't want to be responsible for it. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to be responsible. I'm not an Excel spreadsheet kind of a guy, but Lucy is, and she'll keep us all in order. So if you have any questions about how those finances work or these details on the back of this flyer, please see Lucy about it. You see Lucy's email. She's the one who's behind connect@delraychurch.com. You can message her for those deeds. At the bottom, these are things that I will be giving myself to. The various sites that we see, you have listed here. We're going to see Caesarea, Haifa, Megiddo, which is, you know, Armageddon. Har-Megiddo is the Armageddon. Ginosar, Sea of Galilee, Chorazim, Capernaum, Kersi, Tel Dan, Banias, Mount Hermon, Golan Heights, Jericho, and on and on and on. I'm working currently with people on the floor there in terms of what day we're seeing what. And I basically have that spelled out, and I'm getting a final confirmation on what day we're doing what. And then I'm writing a little study guide for you that will show you each day what we're doing with brief explanations of those locations so that you'll have a study guide in advance and that you can also pack on the trip so that as we're going, You can say to yourself, I don't know, you know, what Ain Bokeh is, say. Well, I want you to know what Ain Bokeh is before we go. So I'll be preparing you with detailed notes. You know how I am. So we're going to beat Romans 6 to death, right? So I'm going to beat this trip to death with information, and I'll prepare you for each of those sites. We'll have study times, likely back at the hotel at night or in the morning. We'll be flexible with it because there's just moving parts. So a key thing for travel, a key commandment for travel as a group is blessed are the flexible. You need to be ready to be flexible. Things aren't going to go how you planned them. I was thinking in the back of my head, poor Faye. Poor Faye just reminded me of it today. She made a plate of sandwiches for us all for our meeting today, stayed up, made it all special, and her sandwiches got jacked in the kitchen. You go, well, this is good preparation for Israel because there's going to be lots of little stuff like this that's going to happen. You're going to buy yourself a bottle of water and someone's going to jack you and you're going to be upset about it. And I got to have one nibble of the sandwiches, and they were really good, and we really appreciate you, Faye. And this kind of stuff can get under your skin, and it can ruin your trip if you aren't flexible on the trip. It's one thing. I would be really mad if I stayed up and made some sandwiches and some people ate them. But you got to be prepared. In Israel, you don't want to be mad and miss, say, ginosar because someone drank your bottle of water or someone sat in your seat on the bus. There's going to be a lot of things like this that can happen that can derail our trip. So part of why we're meeting here now, and hopefully you mix and mingle before and after and just say hi to people whose faces aren't familiar, because you're going to get to know each other on this trip. So it's not just about you going to Israel, it's about us going to Israel. And it's not just about us going to Israel, it's about us getting sanctified through an Israel trip. So, and the way that we'll get sanctified is by annoying each other a little bit, sitting in each other's chairs and snagging each other's water bottles or, you know, whatever. Or you're late again. Oh, you got to go to the bathroom. Why didn't you go when we all went? What's wrong with you? You're slowing us down. You know, all that little stuff is going to be really sanctifying. That said, if you think yourself to be particularly sanctifying, maybe this isn't the trip for you because we're not interested in being that sanctified. So we want to gauge that. So this is the basic, this brown page is the basic overview, basic intro. Those are the dates. That's when we're going. This is how the payment schedule works. If you can pay the lump sum, that works out great. It makes it easier for us. And here's a list of the locations that we're going to hit. And if we can squeeze in extra stuff, we'll squeeze in extra stuff. And know that of this list, occasionally things happen where it's just beyond our control. Like the sandwiches, it's beyond our control. For example, we might get up to the Temple Mount and there could be something going down. There could be some Arab protest or something and it's just not safe to get up there, so we don't go. There could be an area where something happens and the police have it cut off, so you don't go. So you need to be prepared for that. One I'm mentally preparing myself for is Hezekiah's Tunnel. Hezekiah's Tunnel might be too dang cold when we get there. And I love Hezekiah's Tunnel. Every time I go to Hezekiah's Tunnel. And they're saying in January, sometimes it can get really cold and you don't want to take a group through Hezekiah's Tunnel in January, some folks have said. So I'm still waiting it out, pun intended, because you got to wade through Hezekiah's Tunnel. I'm still waiting it out, hoping we can. But hey, there's a chance we get there. We're not able to go through Hezekiah's Tunnel. So just know, just be prepared for people taking your sandwiches. And just, you know, just be prepared for being discouraged at small things. Blessed are the flexible is the first thing that we need to know. Let me talk about this second page. It's a little more weightier. It's got a staple in it. DRC meeting one. The plan is, and Lucy has dates worked out for us, and so we'll put them in an email, Lucy, of our forthcoming dates. We've been trying to plan a meeting once a month for us to get together and for me to give you guys teachings to prepare you for the trip and orientation stuff. So this is largely our orientation. And then in forthcoming months, we'll be able to do this maybe five more times before we go. We'll get together and I'll teach you some things so that when we're there, the trip, we get more bang for our buck. Like right now, if I say, what is Banias, you might not know. Elah Valley, you might not know. Tel Shiva, you might not know. But in the coming months, I want you to know what those are so that when we're there, you get all that much more out of it. So if you're going to visit a place, it's helpful to get a guide before you go so that you know what you're looking at. We want to maximize our time. So that said, we're going to have meetings like this. They're, you know, quote unquote mandatory. I want you to be here because I want you to get to know each other and I want you to know the content. And I don't want you to be at Tel Banias talking about, I didn't know. Well, then you should be responsible to be at the meeting. Okay, so we're going to do that. And with that, I'm going to give out books. You know me. I give out books. I'm going to ask that you buy books. So that's not factored into the cost here, this $3,400. I want you to buy books and I want you to read them. So this is our meetings are going to kind of operate like book club in the sense that you're going to get a book, you're going to read it, and then when we meet next time, I'll summarize the book, I'll answer questions about the book, I'll add or compliment the book so that we can grow together and we can learn. This month, these two little baby books, this one, a quick overview of the Bible. I don't care if you say, I know the Bible, I don't need it. I want everyone on the trip to know the story of the Bible, the basic characters of the Bible, rough dates with the Bible. So that if I say 2 Samuel, you can go to 2 Samuel in your mind. You kind of have an idea of things. You know where David is. You know where Joshua is. You know where Abraham is. You know where Paul is. I want you to have a basic overview. This is a really good basic overview. What's good about this book, too, is it has a section here on geography, which is going to help orient you to the land. So it's got a wonderful section on geography. I love that he's just done a fantastic job at summarizing things. So chapter 7, history and geography. This is great. Gives you a good aerial view of things. So this is written by Dr. Douglas Jacoby, a quick overview of the Bible. Now, this is a little more of a kind of fun read, Israel and Bible Prophecy by David Reagan. I want you to be thinking about Hebrew prophets. I want you to be thinking about what's called futurism, the idea that the prophets weren't just speaking to things in right in front of them, but they were speaking to things that were beyond them. So it's a both and. So prophets talk about things that are right in front of them, Nebuchadnezzar, and then they talk about things that are kind of beyond, Antichrist figures, end times, or whatever. I want you to have a little bit of a basic understanding of Israel and prophecy. So this book is going to focus on that. Next time we meet, we'll go over those books. So at the top of your page, GRC Meeting 1, this is a trip of a lifetime. Be ready. Read your Bible. Do the assigned homework. If you have learning disorder, if reading's not your thing or whatever, get the book anyway. Read what you can. Have someone talk to you about it. It's fine. I'm not checking your books. There's not quizzes. This is not a Bible Institute class. It's more book clubby. So whatever you put in, you're going to get out. Make the monthly meetings. Memorize your maps. I'm going to give you some maps each week with some basic things to remember. On this handout, your second to the last page should have this map in it. And there's just a couple bullet points. I want you to know where Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Golan. I want you to know where the West Bank is, where Tel Aviv is, Haifa, Center, Jerusalem, South, North. Next month, I'll add more dots. So if you can commit these to memory, good. It's good for you to know where these things are so that on our tour, as we're talking about them, in your head, you know where things are. God forbid something happened and you get disconnected from the group as well. By the time we're done meeting, you'll have an idea of where things are so that you could maneuver and you could get around too. So that's important. Spirituality and sanctification. Seek the Lord. This trip is about sanctification, as I said. Not everyone on our trip in our community might not be a believer. Particularly, I try to hire Jewish guys who aren't believers as a means of outreach. So I actually, our bus driver hopefully is not a believer. I try to hire a local Israeli tour guide. The one that I want is not a believer. So I love having non-believers around us so that we can bear witness. And so that said, I want you to, to know, don't just assume, because there could be people among us as we're going who aren't believers, so we want to be sensitive to that. On this note, personal sin. You see the next bullet point there? You got to be real with me about your personal sin. If you're coming into the trip and you got something, an addiction or something you're working on, talk to me about it. Let me know. Particularly the next bullet point, I have a line about excessive alcohol consumption. If you're wrestling with, say, drunkenness or something, or drinking too much, this might not be the trip for you. Now is not the time when all these people are spending $3,400 to go on a trip to have a trip ruined because someone's drinking too much or abusing substances or it's just a jerk or rude or whatever. If you're dealing with personal sins that make it hard to be around you, that could derail others, let me know. Talk to me. This is what I'm dealing with. This is, we need to be aware of that so that we factor things. So, for example, say you're a recovering alcoholic. I don't want to put you in a room with someone else who's into Israeli wines or something. You know what I mean? Like, well, I got to factor that, you know. The Bible is against drunkenness. The Bible is not against having a sip of beer or a sip of wine. I like wine. I like Israeli wine. I like being in Israel having wine. But I do not drink ever in front of someone I know who has a history or an issue with it. And so we need to know, because we don't want to cause anyone to stumble. Likewise, on that note, I don't eat bacon in Israel. I don't push, you know what I mean? Like, and you know I love bacon, but I don't. I don't want to be a stumbling block to my to Jewish people I'm trying to witness to, and even my Jewish believing friends who are wrestling with the very things we're studying in Romans about the nature of the law. I don't want that to be a stumbling block, so I just don't go there. Now, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a bacon burger. I did find a place, and it was really tempting, and I didn't do it, but, you know, all that to say, so you got to talk to me if you're worried about anything, or if you yourself are wrestling with anything. You got to talk to me. You got to let me know so that we can factor that in. Jewish culture, faith, prayer, we want to be a blessing to Israel while we're there. Young country, dealing with a lot of political conflicts and what have you, so we want to be a blessing to them. Part of our trip that I'm working on is if there's a Messianic congregation we can visit. On trips that I go to, I try to touch Israeli soldiers. They're young, they're, you know, 17, 18, fresh in the military. It's mandatory out there. They're scared, you know. So we like to bring candy bars and stuff like that just to be a blessing to them, encourage them, let them know that there are Christians who are praying for them. Shabbat, you see the next point is a day of rest. So things shut down Friday night. Friday night, Saturday, it shuts down. That said, we're not shutting down. I'm a Gentile, one. Two, I spent money to be here. We got stuff to do. So we're not shutting down on Shabbat. But we might find that some things are. So you got to factor that in. You might find, I'm not sure what hotel we'll be in on Shabbat. Like some hotels, for example, the elevator stops on every floor on Shabbat because it constitutes work to press a button. So it just Shabbat elevators stop on every floor. You're like, we got to get to the bus. We have things to see. Are you kidding me? Hit the stairs. You know, so you got to be ready if on Shabbat, I'm like, hit the stairs. We're going to hit the stairs. So Shabbat's this, it's a fun thing too. So if possible, we'll try and squeeze in our own Shabbat dinner service. Those are always fun. Community, we're doing this together. Love, peace, communication, grace. No separating from the group except during, you know, a time that is specifically designated by the staff. A tour guide or whatever might say, take your time, walk around the museum or whatever, meet back here in an hour, then you can separate. But otherwise, we got to stick together. No opting out of group activities and programming. It's just too hard if we got to figure out where you are. We need everyone to stick together. All programming is mandatory. We're going to the museum. I don't want to go to the museum. You're going to the museum. Blessed are the flexible. Always treat your fellow travelers and staff with respect and dignity. We want to have a reputation. I have a reputation with people there that I'm building in ministry that you guys are now going to be a part of, and for our church to be a partner in being a blessing there. So, you know, it matters. Be on time. No Delray time on this trip. And I'm a Delray timer. I'm bad at this myself. But be on time. For reals, be on time. Like, seriously, be on time. And here's the reality of it. If you're not on time, you will get left. If we're on the bus and it's a 7 a.m. leave time and you're not there, the bus will leave. Because we have, it's a domino effect. If you're 10 minutes late, it dominoes everything. And you'll be stuck at the hotel, and you can Uber or cab to our destination. I'll have spelled out, as I said before, what we're doing each day, so you can Uber or cab and meet us at said location. But that cost is on you. It's not on the group. And if you're going to be cranky about it or whatever, then you didn't listen to Blessed Are the Flexible. If you can't get there on time, you got to be the flexible one to cabby to meet up with the rest of us. Now, meals, same thing. We'll have a breakfast time. We'll have a dinner time or whatever. You come walking in 30 minutes late. You know, it's not cool. Part of it, too, is we want to be getting to know each other and encouraging one another and growing in Christ together. So now, if you're not a breakfast person or whatever, I myself, I'm not really a breakfast person. Heck, I didn't have breakfast or lunch today. I had one sandwich from Faye. It was good. But, you know, I haven't eaten, and I'm used to not eating. You might be like me, not a not eater, or you don't eat at a certain time or whatever. Whatever your eating patterns or whatever, you have to do away with those for this trip. You're going to be on our group time. So your eating needs to be around when we're eating. And even someone like me, I'm like, I don't eat breakfast. I'm just going to sleep in. When I'm traveling by myself, I don't eat breakfast and I sleep in. But if I'm traveling with a group, I'm going to come down for breakfast even if I'm not eating breakfast, because we're a group and we're supposed to be together, and that's a part of this. So if you're, I don't eat lunch or whatever, so what? You're going to sit with us at lunch and act like you're enjoying yourself and be sanctified. Generally speaking, we'll leave each day at 7 a.m. Generally speaking, we'll get back to the hotel 5:30, 6:30. Okay, and we'll eat dinner, generally speaking, at 7 p.m. These are long days. But you're spending $3,400. It's a sacrifice of your time. We're going to maximize while we're there. So that said, part of how I cut costs, we're not staying in hotels that are going to have like fancy swimming pools and stuff like that, because we're really not going to have time to enjoy that anyway. So you're not going to have like fancy cable in your room or whatever. We're going to stay in hotels that aren't that fancy because we're just sleeping there. So when we're booking hotels, I'm like, we don't need microwaves, we don't need refrigerators, we don't need swimming pools. We just need a place to sleep and a shower, and then we're on the go. So, you know, this isn't destination or whatever you call it when you're doing nice stuff. You're not going to be posting pictures of your hotel room, let's just say. Okay?
Or maybe you will.
You know, maybe you will. If someone's flexible. Look at this fly in my room. So generally speaking, that's what the day looks like. We leave at 7 a.m. We get on a bus. We'll eat breakfast at the hotel, and we'll get on a bus. And on the bus, enjoy each other. Sit in different spots on the bus. If you need to sit up front because of motion sickness or something like that, don't hesitate to camp in the front of the bus. I'd rather you just sitting in your same seat or whatever because you get motion sickness. I mean, prepare, pack some Dramamine, whatever you got to do. But for the most part, on the bus, we say, look, there's no assigned seating. Sit wherever you want to sit. You know, so that prepares you for, I was sitting there and someone took it. It's not assigned seating. We're on a bus, two rows in the middle. There's not bathrooms on the bus, but there's air conditioning. So that said, when we stop to use the bathroom, use the bathroom. Don't say, I don't have to go. Go try. Go try to get something out, because you don't know when the next time's coming. This is just parents. Parents understand this, you know. Roommates, next page. Some of you have roommates, you know. Some of you don't. Some of you are married, so I guess hopefully you're rooming together. And for those of you who are married, don't bring marriage baggage on the trip. So if you're going through, we don't like each other, we hope Israel will save us. Maybe this isn't the trip. I'm just saying. We don't need your marriage baggage on the trip, being mad at each other, making it all awkward. Because in a small bus, we're going to feel each other's stuff. So, you know, if someone's mad at someone, you'll be able to feel it. You can't play it off the way you do on a Sunday where someone's sitting over there and whatever. And you'll feel it. Fashion. Modesty. It's all modesty. You have to dress modest. You have to dress conservative. And please don't dress touristy. So, you know, if you got like a fanny pack around your neck with a Hawaiian, I don't know, you know, just don't give it away. So, you know, like they have passport bags, you know, and you see the people wear them around their neck. Like, can you tuck it in? You know, like, we don't want to look like a bunch of tourists. So don't wear shirts that are, you know, whatever, my first time in Israel, or, you know, just, it keeps us way more safe and way more stealth as a group when we don't have that, like, touristy vibe. So I'm not making neon Del Rey t-shirts that we're all going to wear. We're not doing that. I don't want that. With that said, don't wear, like, you know, like, Christian, obvious Christian shirts. It doesn't communicate the same way there. It means different things. If you came to our Wednesday night where we had Moran, and it doesn't communicate what you think it's communicating. Particularly, they'll pick up on our American vibe. And so, you know, I'd say lay low on the, like, overt, I don't know, American flag, Jesus in it, whatever, WWJD, looking touristy. Just play it cool. Try to look normal. And it's easy to do. What you're wearing now is fine. What all of you are wearing now is perfectly fine. Dress just like that on the trip. Women, guys, we're going to go to the Dead Sea. So, you know, you want to have a swimsuit. You know, same thing to be mindful of. Don't have all kind of stuff hanging out or whatever. Pants are fine. Capris are fine, whatever. Short shorts aren't fine. They have modesty police. So that's the other thing. One, it's just being respectful to your fellow travelers to be modest and not have stuff hanging out or whatever. But also, they have modesty police. So you could get our group in trouble. That's why this is important. And particularly around holy sites, the modesty police are there. And they will publicly shame you. They'll throw a sheet. They'll throw stuff on top of you. It's a part of the culture. That said, too, in holy sites, there's no public displays of affection, no PDA, and it doesn't matter if you're married. I had an awkward encounter one time where I got a little tough. I'm like, they're married, and doesn't matter. Hand-holding, none. It's not a part of their culture for men and women, that affectionate type stuff. So you got to be careful, Roy, because you're smooth. Yeah. Be careful. Look at that, I'm just sitting next to each other now. I mean, there you go. So you gotta know. So for the most part, I even like as a guy, having your shoulders hanging out or whatever, it's not cool. Like tank tops, you know, showing all your CrossFit guns, your P90X guns or whatever, guys. Like, just wear long sleeves or short sleeves. Don't, you know, we want to be a light. We want to communicate goodness there. Okay, you won't have time to do laundry because we're on the go. So don't bring stuff that you need to clean and whatever. I'm only packing one shirt. I pack light. I'll wash it. No, you might not. Well, I'll wash it in my room. I got it down. I'll air it out. And when we get back, we might not be staying in the same hotel. Now you got a moldy shirt in your bag, and your bag smells, and all of our bags are on the bus together, and you're the guy with the moldy shirt in the bag. Just, you know, plan accordingly. Travel tip I do, for what it's worth, I'll give you some tips along the way. I take shirts I don't like when I travel to Israel, and I throw them away. I leave them in the hotel room and figure, you know, maybe one of the workers there will, you know, whatever, donate it, wear it, whatever. I just pack shirts I don't like anymore. I've had, Roy's handed shirts down to me. My dress-up game is getting better. I've taken some Roy shirts with me to Israel, and you know, I'll wear them out until I wear them out, and then I leave them there. So there's probably someone walking around Israel, Roy, with the RJ on the sleeve. They got the RJ on the sleeve. So it's good. So if you have shirts, if you have hand-me-downs or whatever, pack those. The cool thing about this technique too is then your bag gets lighter as you're traveling, and you're making space for souvenirs and stuff. Because you're gonna want to buy some knickknacks to bring back or whatever. So you have to pack in a way where you're gonna have space for that. If you pack stuff you don't wear anymore, you know, I pack jeans that I don't fit anymore, not because I can't fit into them, but because I lost a little bit of weight. Because then I can just, you know, disregard them. Anyway,
so white shirts are fine.
Casual white shirts. White shirts are great, and particularly we're going in a time that is winter. So white is good too. In this, when it's hot, white isn't because you sweat and stuff, whereas white will work well in winter. So white shirts are great. Don't stop handing them down to me though, but you know, there you go. Your feet, take care of your toes. And cover them up so we don't have to look at them either. So please wear closed shoes. Please wear closed-toed shoes. We're going to do a lot of walking. Happy feet, happy life. You're going to want to pack some sandals because, you know, we'll hit Dead Sea and a couple other places. If we can get through Hezekiah's Tunnel, that's nice to have sandals. Hezekiah's tunnel is a tunnel that's like, it's like this. Like, you got to shimmy through it. It's dark. You can't see anything. And the water will wade up to here. And so if you have flip-flops to go through, it's great. You turn your flashlights off and you scare each other. And it takes like a half hour to get through. And by the end, you start having post-traumatic stress. It's great. So, and it's just an incredible tunnel. So you might need flip-flops for that. We say pack an extra pair of shoes, because if you slip in the mud or your shoes get wet, you're going to need an extra pair of shoes. You don't want to be walking around wet socks, wet shoes, or whatever. And there, it could rain on us. We could hit mud. You've got to be able to walk in it. Walking leads me to the point about fitness, which is under this. You need to be able to walk 3 to 10 miles a day. You need to have your wind up, and you have to have your weight down. You got to be ready for walking. I mean walking, not jogging, not running, just walking. We're going to walk a lot. We'll go to Masada. We're not going to hike Masada just because it takes too long. Okay, we'll ride a cable cart up or whatever, but we'll have some hills and some things that we want to walk up. And again, everyone in the room's spending money to go, time to go. And if you're not keeping up, then you know maybe this you want to consider others more important than yourself, as scriptures teach us. So if you can't walk, then this isn't a trip, because we want to put others in front of us and allow for the group to be able to do that. You're going to get tired, so you want to be able to pack whatever you need to navigate that. I always pack instant coffee on me. I even pack little coffee chews on me so that I can keep going. And then some people have a hard time getting on a different time zone, so you might want to pack some melatonin or some sleep pills as well. If you're not sleeping, you're not going to be ready to walk. If you're staying up late talking or whatever, you'll mess things up. So make sure you go to bed, make sure you're ready to walk. Health information. If you got something, let us know. If you have any special conditions or whatever, please let us know. Next page, passport. Get your passport. Make sure that your passport is valid for 6 months beyond your stay, because they might not let you out. You could run into, or they might not let you in. So don't say to yourself, oh, I have a passport. Just make sure that your passport is good 6 months after February. You know, you want to make sure that you have your passport right. You don't need a visa to go to Israel if you're American. If you have a passport from another country, please look that up. Smartphone, tablet. If you need this, make sure you get it in advance. Call your cell phone company or whatever, see what it costs to get an international plan. Preload your entertainment, because it might not load. Wi-Fi might be horrible. Blessed are the flexible. Don't have all kinds of stuff that you think you're going to watch on your tablet. Chances are you might not be able to at night, and then you'll be all cranky that you didn't get to watch or whatever. Preload your stuff if there's things you want to watch or things you want to play with on a tablet or on your phone or whatever. Do that. I usually buy SIM cards and get around with SIM cards. But if we all land at the airport and we all are in line to get SIM cards or whatever, that slows us down. So please have that done in advance. If we get to the airport and you're running around trying to buy a little phone for the trip, you slow us down. Money, have cash on you. There's currency exchange when you leave on the stateside. There's currency exchange when you arrive. And then there's a currency exchange at the mall. I'll hit it even in advance. You say, well, the rates and the whatever. I just like having it done so that we don't have 20 people standing in line. Everything adds up. Every line adds up. So if you can get some currency in advance, that's good. I personally like to travel with $500 on me when I'm outside of the country. I just like to have $500 on me. If I need a cab, if I need a hotel, if an emergency goes down, I feel like $500 is good for me. You might want less, you might want more, whatever you want, it's on you. But no, you should have cash on you. Most places are going to take chip. They're going to take Visa. American Express, not so much. But Visa is going to get it. It's going to get you around. MasterCard is going to get you around. But have cash. Particularly when you want to tip someone, right? Or when we're in open place markets where you can haggle for stuff. You can't haggle a guy and then pull out a Visa card. It doesn't work, you know. or you got change for 100, how much for one rib? You can't do that. You got to have some small breakouts. Tips, our cost includes them tipping the hotels and stuff that we stay in. So the $3,400 has factored in to tip our hotels and to tip the people who help us and stuff, but it hasn't factored in our guides and our bus driver. So I will ask on the trip, when we're alone or whatever and the bus driver isn't around, I'll pass a hat, hey, everybody drop some money in, and we'll make a gift at the end. So if you factor in too, oh, I want to have 20 or 40 or 50 or whatever to throw in so that our group blesses our bus driver and stuff, you'll see the bus drivers work hard. They basically are away from their families for those 10 days. They sleep on the bus. They keep our stuff safe. That said, don't take something on the trip that is super special to you, because I don't want you to have, whatever, some powerful laptop or something that gets stolen. Don't pack things that are crazy important to you. Let's see. There's a VAT, which is when you spend money over a certain amount, they call it a VAT. You can keep the receipt, and when we go to the airport before we leave, you go to the VAT booth, and they actually give you money back. It's super cool. It's super hospitable. They say, look, Israel, these taxes are for us. These care for our roads and our whatever. So if you're a visitor, we don't want you to pay our taxes. So keep your receipts. They'll issue these VAT receipts. Like if you go into a store and you see some earrings or whatever and you spend a couple hundred bucks on something, they're going to give you a VAT. And the taxes that you were charged on that, you get those back when you go to the airport. It's really cool. So if you buy something cool, ask for a VAT receipt. Now, if you're getting a falafel or something, you know, don't try and get a receipt on that. They're just going to laugh at you. We'll all laugh at you. You're trying to get a VAT for a falafel? Come on. Tourism, trinkets, souvenirs. Okay, so it's a haggle culture. You got to be ready to haggle. If you're not a haggler, okay, and it can be kind of stressful. So know your limits. If you go in, there's not price tags on anything. I'm just trying to get this hat. How much is it? It's frustrating. Just tell me how much it is. Again, we want to be a witness. We don't want to have that reputation of, you know, so if you haggle, be nice about your haggling. And then if you're not a haggler, you can rely on other people in the group who haggle. I'm sure there's a couple people in our group who like haggling. And especially ladies. Like, I love when I'm on trips with ladies who like to haggle because they can get these guys to go down. It's great. So you can be like, hey, here's 50, try and give me that hat, you know, come back with 3 hats. I can feel we have some good hagglers in the group. Here's the thing about haggling, though. It slows us down. So if we say, hey, here's an open market, there's vendors and whatever, let's take 30 minutes, go get some stuff, meet back here in 30 minutes, we're on the bus, we're going to Bethlehem, we don't want to be slowed down because you're haggling with someone over a Jerusalem chess piece or something, you know. So you have to factor that. Electrical, know your electrical appliances. Bring two-prong adapters. I brought this just to show. This is one I travel with because it's got Europe, it's got UK, it's got China, and they all just, you know, here's my, boom, there's my Israel, boom, boom, and then I can plug it on this side. I have other ones that have USB things on them. So no, you don't just show up with your American plug. It's not going to fit in. So hopefully. Is there anyone on our trip who hasn't traveled outside of America? You've traveled out. You've lived outside of America. Anyone who's not traveled outside of America? Okay. So little things like that, this is going to be super new and annoying to make sure that you have the right prong. And in other countries, too, the power outlets sometimes have these little switches on them. So you plug something in thinking you're charging your phone, only to find out the next day it wasn't even on. So look for these little switches. The switches will be different. The power will be different. So prepare yourself for the differences on the power. So there's a little bit there on that. Amazon.com, highly recommend. There's all kinds of things on there. You could go down to Fry's too. Dietary, yes. No, dietary, next page. We're doing all group meals, basically. Your lunches aren't provided in the cost because we're on the go. So we're going to eat. Largely, your lunch is going to be falafels. It's just going to be quick, fast Israeli food. So there'll be like shawarma, falafels, some chickpeas, whatever. You know, so it's going to be something on the go. Their equivalent of, you know, Astro Burgers. Just a local burger, quick and fast. That's what we'll be going for. If you factor $10, $15, that's about what lunch will be for a day. If you're a snacky person or whatever, pack snacks. I personally travel with power bars and beef jerky. I go on Amazon and I buy a packet, and they have all these little small packets in it that are 10 grams of protein. I throw those in my bag. I like to have protein when I'm on the go. Especially if for whatever reason I'm looking at that shawarma and I'm like, I don't know about that, you know, so then I'll survive on beef jerky. So pack yourself snacks. Food is not like the American diet. So you're not, like, getting a cheeseburger is kind of hard because it's not kosher. You can't, you go to McDonald's there, you can't get a milkshake and a burger. Not kosher. They're not mixing milks with meats. Okay, so just be prepared when you go in, oh, I really want, oh, they don't have it. Be prepared. It's a kosher diet. There's going to be a lot of vegetables. Okay, so be prepared for that. Be prepared for vegetables. Breakfast, in fact. The hotels I think that we're going to be staying at, I've been in all of them, their breakfast served, it's tomatoes and cucumbers and pitas and oils and cheeses and olives. And some of you are like, oh, that's good. For me, I was like, where's the eggs and the sausage, you know, and the biscuits and gravy. I can't get my day started without some biscuits. You're not going to get biscuits and gravy. It's not going to happen. So your breakfast, you might get a hard-boiled egg and some fruit, and their diet's different. They'll have just some salmon. Well, I think the last place that I was in on my last trip, got up in the morning, it's just a salmon cut in half raw, and people are just eating this salmon with some cucumbers, and I'm like, barf. So be prepared. I have a child's palate, admittedly. Some of you might be like, that just sounds so good, just fresh oil on a salmon. Can someone cook that? You know, anyway. Usually there's yogurts at most places, which I try to just get protein, so I'm about that. But just be prepared. Be prepared for that. You got to know. And then again, alcohol, you know, it's fine to have a drink, but don't have more than your body holds. We don't need you tipsy, slowing us down. Drunkenness is a sin, so that's that. Stay hydrated. Drink water. That said, be mindful of potty time, too. So if you don't hold your water well, we don't need you raising your hand all the time. Can we stop? I gotta pee. So, you know, factor that in. Everyone has different pee schedules and whatever. You need to stay hydrated, but you also gotta factor in peeing. Medication, vaccinations. You don't need vaccinations. I recommend that you have an up-to-date tetanus shot. Of course, go check with your doctor. Say, I'm going to Israel. Do you want to, you know, give me any stuff? Medications and vaccinations note, I always go to my doctor before I leave the country, and I get antibiotics just in case. I always travel with antibiotics. I get a Z-Pack or something. I throw it in my bag. If I get an ear infection or something while I'm on the trip, I'm set. I have my antibiotics on me. So that's something I recommend doing. If you get an ear infection or something, and, you know, Now we gotta buy Bethlehem. We're going to Kaiser. You know, I'd rather go to Bethlehem and you have some on you. Free time, me time, and rest. There's not going to be a lot of free time and me time. It's going to be packed, and so you need to get your rest in. Packing and luggage. Next page. Whatever you pack, you carry. Okay. So you need to. That's the motto. If you bring it, you carry it. So make sure that you pack bags that you can personally carry. Okay? You know, don't be the person who's like, can someone help? No, because we all have bags too. And we all got to get from the bus to the hotel. And you want to pack, for those of you who travel a lot, you want to pack strategically because we're going to be in different hotels a lot. So you have to be able to pack and unpack. So don't just throw everything in the bag and then you got to pack and unpack. Pack strategically. I personally use big Ziploc bags, and I treat it like a dresser. I put my chonies in one, my socks in one, my undershirts in one, so that way my bags are like a dresser. I can open it up, it's all contained, I know how to get to stuff. If you're really organized, you could Ziploc bag your days or whatever, but you know, that's pretty hyper, I would say. Anyway, just know, you gotta be able to unpack and pack. Personally, what I recommend is to have one bag that has wheels and one bag that's a backpack. It keeps you stealth if you can have one on your back and then one wheels. Now, and you can flip this whichever way you want. If you're smaller and you can't handle weight, then make your wheel bag your check-on bag. You get to check a bag on, and then you get a carry-on bag. Typical check-on bags are about 50 pounds. I'll find out once all the tickets are booked, we can check, but typically 50 pounds. And then your carry-on, it's just got to fit those size dimensions. So you want to know that yours can do that. So I usually roll my smaller bag is my little wheel bag. And then I use, because I like to just carry the weight on my back rather than on wheels, because I like that. I'll make a big duffel bag my bag. So, but you might do it the other way around. I don't want all that weight on my back, then book it that way. My recommendation, if you show up with two wheels, fine, but it's on you. And when you're trying to navigate airport and space with two wheel carts, you know, say, hey, Matt suggested that you didn't do that. But, you know, if that's what you like to do, do it. And if you're married, then talk to each other first. I got back from a trip London with my wife, and, man, I got rocked hard. Well, she's with child, too, so I'm not going to have her carrying bags. So I didn't really factor that in my planning because I'm carrying her bags and my bags through subways. I should have thought that through better. So if you're traveling with a married person, especially you guys, you might want to factor that in and think about, okay, my wife is packing those two bags. That means I'm probably carrying them. Let me think about this. Maybe we can pack more strategically. Okay, small toiletry bag is good to have as your carry-on. In the event that they lose a bag or whatever, you can brush your teeth and maybe have a change of clothes in your carry-on is a recommendation, okay? No weapons, no illegal drugs, that should go without saying. No mind-altering substances of any kind. Israel is super-duper cautious with security. So when we get there and when we land, they scan your bags like crazy. And they'll stop you on a nail clipper. What is that? Let me see it. Take it out of your bag. They're going to examine it. They might even unscrew it, reassemble it. So don't have anything that looks like anything. No lighters, don't have any toys that are shaped like a gun or pocket knives. Guys like to have pocket knives. You can't have a pocket knife. If they find a pocket knife in your stuff, you'll get stuck in customs and it'll be horrible. So I like rolling with a pocket knife. I do. And I just like having a little pocket knife on me. You can't do it there. Now, if while we're out and about, you find a little pocket knife store and you buy a little cheap one and you throw it in your pocket, whatever, but you're not going to be able to get it home probably. So factor these things in. Anything that looks like anything, they'll stop you. By the way, customs, they are aggressive, but they're doing their job. So just be ready for it. You're going to get to customs. They're going to ask you, what's your mom's middle name? Where are you coming from? Let me see your passport. Where did you go to high school? And then they'll ask you the same questions five times. That's a part of the security there. When you land, there is going to be soldiers at the airport. There's going to be people in regular clothes who might come up to you and say, "What are you doing here?" Just be ready for that. It was so weird my first time going, having people grilling me like that and not taking it personal. This one time I was getting grilled so hard in customs, and then they go, "What is your on your dad's side, your grandfather's name?" And I thought, oh shoot, I knew my grandpa as Mutt. We just called him Grandpa Mutt. I don't even know his real name. And I thought, if I say Mutt, this isn't going to go well. So I just swept over to my mom's dad, whose name is Carol. And I said, Carol. And he said, that is a woman's name. And I go, I know. And then he laughs. He's like, ha. Huh. He has a woman's name. Go. Like he felt pity on me that my grandfather had a woman's name. Anyway, so it could be weird. It could be funny. Just be ready for that. Customs, be flexible. Be light. We're salt and light. Here's some sayings to have down under be light. When you're talking about Jesus there, I'm going to say Yeshua. Okay? When you say hello, goodbye, it's shalom. When you say thank you, it's todah. Todah. If you want to say thank you very much, it's todah rabah. If you're saying you're welcome, bevakasha. If you're saying good morning, boker tov, erev tov is good evening. We'll be working on these when we meet, so that when we're there, you'll have it secondhand so that you can say todah when someone gives you something Erev Tov, you'll have some sayings down so that we're not entirely awkward. Chances are our tour guide and bus drivers, like I said, won't be believers, so be ready for that. Play it cool if our tour guide or our bus driver says something that's unbiblical. Just play it cool and tell me later, you know. So I'm trying to get this one tour guide who's awesome. He just has like geography and Jewish history down like it's nobody's business. I love this guy, not a believer. So, you know, we'll be at locations, he'll be breaking down like archaeology and geography and all kinds of stuff. And he might say something where you're like, no, just play along with it, okay? I'm gonna be doing the theology and the Bible teaching, but they require you to use local guides as a part of their economy and whatever. And you want a local guide who can break down the geography and the archaeology really good. My strength is theology and scripture. I get turned around easy on geography, so I'm going to have a geography buff there, and he will geek you out. Miscellaneous, airlines, airport, passport, stamps. We already covered airlines, airport. We pretty much have covered that. Passports and stamps. For those of you who like to travel and you like to get stamps, Kellerman, you haven't left the country, right? So you're going to be like, I want my stamp. They're not going to stamp you. It is so anticlimactic, so just be ready for this. I like getting stamps in my passport. I love it. You go to Israel, they're not going to stamp your passport. They're going to give you a little printout that you just tuck into your passport. They don't want to be tagged in passports for your safety. Because when you go somewhere else, if you're in Turkey, if you're in Jordan, if you're somewhere else and they see that Israel tag on there, you're going to get in trouble because people don't like Israel. Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, they don't like Israel. So if they see an Israel stamp, you could get sweated when you're trying to visit Egypt if you're a traveler or whatever. So they won't stamp. I have a Turkey stamp in mine, and I almost always get sweated when I'm up for my Turkey stamp when I'm in Israel. Okay, so just know they're not going to stamp your passport, and hang on to that little piece of paper. It literally gets you out of the airport. They scan it to get you out, and then you want to hang on to it. It'll have a date for how long you're going to be there, and it's good for that time. Maran, who some of you met, we had him out for a midweek. He'll be with us, and so we want to be in prayer for him, for his family, for his ministry there. We want to be a blessing to him. Next sheet is just some greetings and stuff. You can work on that on your own. I gave you some basics already, but these are just really basic ones. You know, like saying no, you say lo. Lo tov means not good. Modern Hebrew and ancient Hebrew are different, by the way. So, like, I do ancient Hebrew. I don't really do modern. I have some catchphrases. I can order a falafel and get around, but, you know, that's also why we want to have guides who can do that, who can get down. Next page is the map, and then the last page is a packing list for you, which you can go through on your own time. I'll handle questions. We'll pray. We'll get out of here. You can take this as you're packing and preparing. When I'm going on a trip outside of the country, I want to have my bags packed like a month beforehand. I do not want to wait till the last minute and stress myself out with packing. You say, well, what about my toothbrush? What about my, just buy a new toothbrush. And you don't pack the one that you have on the sink, for Pete's sake. Just pack yourself a new one. Your mouth could use it. Just pack it and just get all your toiletries, get everything packed. And that way, if in the weeks you know that you have that done and it's not a last minute thing where you're stressed and you forget something, don't be the person who packs last minute and then is stressed out. There's stress with travel. Okay? There's stress getting on airplanes. Even people who like to travel, there's still stress involved with it. Let's minimize that. Okay, these are the two books. Next time we meet, we'll talk about the books. The housekeeping portion is done. You keep this. I'm not going to tell you how to pack your socks or rolly bags or customs or any of that again. The rest of our meetings are going to be centered around learning about Israel and learning about their history and whatever. But any questions about the trip or packing or anything this time? Yes?
I just wondered whether in Israel in January, can you just give us a little
bit of that? There's a potential that it's going to be cold and wet. So this cuts both ways for us. It's downtime. It's not holy season, so stuff is going to be way more open. So we'll have likely a lot of locations just to ourselves. So that's the cool thing about going January in a down season. So I thought, let's go on a down season.
Cold like snow or downpours?
Or you could get a little snow.
So Colorado.
Yeah, plan like Colorado, not as cold, but you got to know what your body's used to, too. So some people are just really cold people. Some people are not, so factor it. I will know more as we get closer. You know, the projections right now seem fairly mild, 50s, 60s, 70s even. And it could be that we actually hit warm, where there's just the sun is out. The sun is hitting you, so you feel warm, but it's a little cold. We might not hit rain at all. We might get rained on. That's a part of a gamble in going into down season that we can factor as a group and say, wow, that was hard, or, you know, so we got to pray. Elijah was a righteous man. He prayed and it didn't rain, so we'll do that. It's in James. It's in the Bible. But, yeah, we could. I'm personally going to plan for 40s, 50s. I went on top of a mountain where we were able to like see snow, and it was pretty cold one time. It was really cool. And I thought to myself, I wish I packed gloves. My hands were freezing. And for bald guys, am I the only one? Beanie, pack a beanie. Any other?
Did you say you take 3 bags or 2 bags? I mean, a roll-on and a big bag and also a backpack, or just a backpack?
So here's the thing, 2. You check on your big bag, your 50-pounder, and then you take on your compact bag that can fit in the overhead bin. Okay, so for me, I like to use my rolly one for the overhead bin because I like to have my big bag on my back rather than rolling a big bag. But other people might like to do that the other way around. Now, you also get a personal bag, too. So, ladies, your purse doesn't count. So if you play it right, you can get a lot of stuff in your purse. Okay. Now, my personal bag is my laptop bag, and I totally take advantage of this. So I'll have my little rolly thing, and then I have my laptop bag, and I'm stuffing all kinds of stuff in my laptop bag. So, you know, it's a laptop, it's a personal bag, but I'm getting more in it. So your personal bag, you can maximize, but you got to play it cool. If you go big, you know, they might make you check it, they might try and charge, or whatever. I had that happen in Dubai. They actually were weighing our personal bags in Dubai. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It was me, Brian, Adam, and we're standing in line, and so my laptop, my personal bag, it weighed too much. And Brian had got through the line, so I took my laptop out and I put it in his bag, and then I was fine. And then they weighed us again when we came in, so this time they had Brian caught. They're like, give me the laptop. We're like trying to move our weight around to get through this thing. Anyway, so just factor on 2 bags and a small personal bag. You know, I usually travel with a small tablet, a small laptop, because I just can't stand sitting on a plane not getting work done. But that said, don't take a laptop that you care about, because if something happens to it, you know, take a cheap Chromebook or something like that. Paul.
So as a part of the agency you're using is in Israel?
Yeah.
They talk about on their website doing personal dinners at people's homes for Shabbat.
They do that on their trips. We're probably not doing a Shabbat on ours.
Okay.
So Tours of Israel is the company that I'm using that Moran's behind. They do a longer trip, and they will break the group up into Jewish families' homes, which is really cool, for Shabbat. So they'll send families around from the trip to other families, will host them, and they do that as a witnessing opportunity. So I've done this before, stay with a family. Oh, you're from America. What do you do there? Oh, I teach. You know, what do you teach? Oh, the Bible, you know, and you get to witness. So for our trip, we only have 10 days, so we'll probably do our own Shabbat at the hotel or something. Roy, and then I'll come back to Megan. Everybody's going to speak English. We'll be fine with English. Everyone will speak English. In some of the like falafel, shawarma, lunch spots, you know, you'll have people with broken English in some places. But for the most part, everyone's going to speak English. And they'll yell in Hebrew, so we'll have Moran there. If they're mad, then it goes to Hebrew.
Do women have to wear hats or something over their head at holy sites?
They will have hats, like at the Western Wall, you'll cover your head. I haven't been on the woman's side. On the guy's side, they give them out. So I could ask about the woman's side. It's good, ladies, just to travel with a little scarf or, you know, for that, you know, because then you can just throw it over and you can block your neck from sun if the sun comes out and is beating on us. But yeah, you cover your head on the Western Wall on the women's side. And there might be a couple other places, so probably just packing a light scarf would be good. Yes?
Do we know what airline we're flying?
I don't know. I don't know yet.
It's not a charter.
No.
No.
It would be nice. It's not a private jet. Did he mention airlines, Lucy?
It's not confirmed.
Okay.
Right now, it's our best.
Okay.
US Airways, but
wah, wah. Yeah. I love El Al.
What did you say, Lucy?
She thinks US Airways. Like I said, I don't know.
Sorry.
When will you have the information? Because if we leave here on the 16th, don't we arrive there on the 17th?
Yeah.
Right? Because they're going to be there 10
hours. They're 10 hours ahead. We lose a day.
We arrive at like 7 in the morning.
On the
17th.
On the 17th.
Yeah. The plan is to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
I'll have spelled out the first day is what I'm working on, but we are going to land in Tel Aviv, and we are going to get done as much stuff as we can. So sleep on the plane, pack sleeping pills, try to do whatever works for you in terms of your sleep pattern, because we're going to hit it hard the first day.
Do we fly from here? Where do we stop on the way?
I don't know. Until we get our tickets booked. I've had straight flights, which are awesome. I assume we won't get a straight. We'll typically do like Newark or O'Hare or
Toronto.
Yeah, or Toronto. I've flown through Canada over. Yeah. That's a great question. Really good. I had that in the notes, and I actually skipped past it. I'm glad you brought that up. Pack a day pack. Your day pack might be your carry-on. I like to use my rolly for my carry-on, as I said, so I stuff a backpack in my pack so that I have a backpack with me when I travel, throwing water bottles, souvenirs, or whatever. If I'm buying souvenirs, I would just want to throw them in my backpack. I don't want to be carrying bags and looking like a tourist, so carry a backpack. You might catch me wearing a fanny pack on this trip, too. I've got this fanny pack I really like. I might break it out. I can fit my Bible in it. It's nice. You know, it is, but it's a manly-looking fanny pack. So, just saying. Now, you will carry your bag with you when we get off of the bus. You'll carry your bag with you. So think through your bags here. So like, I'll have a backpack. Oh, I bought all these souvenirs. I'm not trying to carry this up to Megiddo. Okay, well, what do I need? Like, oh, I got my fanny pack. Choo-choo, I'll put my water bottle in it. Let's go. You know, so you might want to pack 2 day packs in your pack. You got to have your method down. I like to have my backpack organized with my snacks and stuff like that too. So I'll take my snacks out, leave that on the bus, because I don't need to be carrying around my snacks when I'm looking at sites. But be strategic in how you pack, because we don't want to be, okay, let's go, and then you're, let me get my bag ready. Have your bags ready. Let's go. So know your, I like to have a backpack, and then I like to have a smaller pack. I have, I could bring them next time and show you my bag game. My bag game is pretty good. I have a man bag, and anyway, have some smaller bags that doesn't look touristy.
Does it match your fanny pack?
It matches, coordinates, it coordinates.
Question, crime, big packet, how bad is it in terms of
I have never had an issue with pickpocketers. They will warn you about the gypsies and whatever. When you're there in a high season, it can be very crowded. So I personally, when I'm in Jerusalem, I turn my backpack around. Just because I don't want a zipper that's behind me just in case. So if I have a backpack with stuff, I carry it. If I'm using a man bag, I have it right under my arm. Because I want to watch for pickpockets, you know. But I've never had an issue. Yeah, cool. Yeah. I always have this in the front, and I'll never have my passport usually outside of anything that you can grab into. So I usually have it strapped under my shirt. With that said, for men, put your passport in a Ziploc bag. Well, I guess women too, because you sweat like us. But I'll sweat when I got something strapped under me. And you don't want your passport all soggy. So I put my extra money and my passport in Ziploc bags. And then I put them inside of my passport cover under me. But your passport covers can get sweaty. So I recommend, rather than using one of those passport covers you get at Bed Bath & Beyond or whatever, spend the money and get one of those runner ones, like the Nike ones that runners use when they're jogging to put their keys in or whatever, because it's going to wear the sweat better. Pastor Tony.
The men can only because Jan never lets me have it.
Will those passports and things like that need to be accessible during the day?
No, but it's
so
your
just a security.
Yeah, it's just a security, and it's your responsibility and whatever. I just don't like not having it on me. I feel like, what if it's in the hotel room? What if someone takes it? You won't have to whoop it out for anything, so you can bury it in some cavity under your arm. Not too deep, but... Barb.
I'm watching out for you, Roman.
I want to thank you.
The paper says we leave each day at 7 a.m., so is there a designated time for breakfast before you leave?
Yeah. Well, most likely, the hotels, this is general, breakfast will open at 6 a.m., and then we need to be on the bus at 7. So you'll have an hour to get it done. So if you're one of those people who, I like to brush my teeth after I eat or whatever, you know, if you're one of those people who don't, then don't. You might show up to breakfast at 6:20 or 6:30 because you eat and just go straight on the bus. But you need to have your stuff ready to go from the downstairs breakfast buffet straight onto the bus. You got to be ready for that. Here's a travel tip that you just made pop in. Bring a travel cup with you. I always, when I'm having breakfast, I fill it up with coffee so that when I'm on the bus, I can have some coffee to sip because I like coffee. So I'm going to drink as much coffee as I can at breakfast, and then I'm going to fill up my coffee thing so that on the bus, when I'm feeling tired, I can drink more coffee. And it can double for water too, so you can fill up with water. The bus should have bottled water on it for us. And they should be like a dollar. So, and they'll take American dollars. So pack ones on you for buying bottled waters on the bus. They have a small refrigerator on the bus. He loads it up every day with bottled waters. And Israeli water is generally safe to drink. So you can fill up on tap and stuff like that. Their water is very clean and tasty. Gare.
How about if something were to happen to you medically and you were transported to a hospital or something, would our medical cards from the U.S. do us any good over there? Should we bring those with us? Or?
You should bring your medical stuff with you. You should call your medical provider and ask them that question, you know, what I'm traveling. If there's a concern, purchase travel insurance, you know, with your medical group so that you're covered on that. I've been on trips where there were medical issues in Israel where they took them to the local Israeli hospital and the hospital didn't charge anything and just did stuff, you know, as a gratis.
Wow.
That might not be the case though every time. So, You want to have traveler's insurance if you're worried about anything particular, you know, medical or whatever. But I would just contact your medical group and say, I'm going out of the country these dates. You know, what would you recommend, you know, that I have purchased to make sure that I have coverage on it? You know.
Do they allow hiking strip to be on the luggage as well? Or that's considered a weapon?
Check it. I wouldn't have it as a carry-on. You can get away with it checked on, and you'll be fine with a hiking stick, but you, not as a carry-on.
Are yours expensive, John? Because you can just buy one there and leave it there.
Oh, it's cheap. No, I haven't bought it.
Yeah. If you got some cool fiberglass one that collapses that you like, just throw it in your check stuff, and then we'll get it out. Our luggage is going to be on the bus. The bottom of the bus has a luggage storage thing. So when we get off the airplane, we'll roll, we'll get to the bus, we'll throw it on the bus, and then when we get to our hotel, we'll schlep it to our rooms. And then we'll schlep, you know, so your luggage will either be in your hotel room or on the bus. So for the first day, if you're gonna, you say, I want my walking stick, because we're hitting the ground running, don't pack that thing really deep in your checked-on bag. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to be the guy that's like, wait, everybody, and you're pulling all your stuff out to get your stick. You know, so if you're going to need something on the first day and you're checked in stuff, make sure that you have it packed towards the front. Roy.
Hey, you mentioned you're comfortable with $500. Do you get that exchanged into foreign currency when you're in a country?
Yes. So here. Yeah, I'll take 500 cash, and I'll turn it into whatever the money is. But I'll usually leave myself in Israel. I'll leave $200 American dollars and maybe just take 300 and turn it into shekels, because American money works at a lot of places in Israel, and you lose money on the exchange and whatever. So I'm not trying to lose money, but I also realize. I'm going to lose money, and I'm there to lose money, and I'm helping their economy, and I want to be a blessing to them. So if I take out too much shekels or whatever, then I'm just going to give that as a gift to Moran and the tour people to bless them anyway. So I'm not trying to overthink it and make it hard. When we get back to the airport, say you took out a bunch of shekels and you didn't spend them, before we fly out, there will be a currency place where you can change that out. So, you know, but each time you change, there's a little charge, so you lose a little of your money. I'm not sweating it, because...
Can you negotiate bargain?
You can't haggle on the money conversion.
No. I mean,
oh.
If you went down the wrong road,
okay.
If we stop at a market and I want to buy some sandals, can I bargain with American money?
Yeah. Any place that haggles usually really likes American money. The dollar's strong. People like the dollar, you know. So you can haggle with dollars. So I like to have ones on me, because I know bottled waters and stuff like that, boom, boom. Or if I'm haggling with someone over something small, you know, and say I run out of shekels, I'll put $5 on it, and, you know. All right. I can hang out and do any one-on-one questions or whatever. Let me pray and get you guys on to your afternoons. Cassie has a birthday, right? Are you're in the doghouse. Got to go and wish your wife happy birthday.
Update, so there's a deliver to mash with my dad.
Sweet.
So,
deliver.
My dad's been in the hospital awaiting a liver transplant. One just came in today.
Wow.
Doing all the testing, so.
Wow. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for our brother. We pray for this liver transplant. We are reminded in this of the gospel of there's a life that was lost, and that life could save another life, just as your son died to save our lives. And Father, we trust this to you. We pray, Lord, this is a match. We pray this is a success. We pray for your healing hand. We thank you for the way that you orchestrate things in such manner, your meticulous sovereignty, and we trust that. Lord, and we trust the things that we've discussed here this day to you, this trip and all the moving parts in it. We're reminded in an answer to prayer, like having a kidney line up, all the movements that are involved in something like that. And so in all of our moving parts to go to the Middle East, Lord, we entrust all the moving parts to you. The finances to be able to make the trip go, the sacrifice that it is to break away from family and the rest, Lord, that you provide for each and everyone here. And Lord, that our money and finance spent as well would go to encouraging local believers in the land as we use our money wisely to bless those that are in strategic places to be a light. Lord, we pray that you give us favor. Bless the homework. Bless the books that we have. Use them, I pray, O God, to draw us deep into your word, to learn the Bible better than we have ever learned it. May this trip give us reason to devour your word more and to be sanctified more and more by you. We love you, Lord, and we give thanks and praise for all it is that you are doing and the excitement that we have in thinking about this trip. Bless us this day, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.